Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join with us as we face the issues. We look forward to this broadcast each day. We also look forward to having you join in the dialogue and discussion. And generally speaking, if I don't announce it early on, I forget it. That telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue, and discussion on the issue. We're going to be talking about today a subject that is, I believe, the top thing on the calendar of communications that we need to be having today, and looking at it honestly and through the prism of truth, and that is what I am calling War on America. War on America. Now, if you don't believe that is the case, go back and look at some of the archives of the interview of Attorney General William Barr by the Socialist Marxist Democrats and their questions for him, and you'll see it's a war on the institution, not just on our nation and our cities, but it's a war on the very institution of the United States of America. We're going to talk about that during this broadcast today. We have a special guest today, Don Redmond. Don is running for City Council District 4 in the city of Jacksonville. Don has a very colorful background. I say that in the right sense of serving God and serving our community, serving our city right here in the city of Jacksonville in a variety of areas, and most prominently was the 8 years on City Council just a few years ago. We're looking forward to putting him back in there to be our representative, to represent us, we the conservatives, and we as Christians in our city. The primary is on the 18th of August, the general election on the 3rd of November, and I'm praying that in the primary, you will vote, and Don Redmond will be the candidate that will represent us in the city of Jacksonville and the city council. We'll talk with Don in a few minutes, but by way of monologue and introduction, let me say to you that as we face the issues each day, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's the revealed Word of God. It's the inerrant Word of God. It is the truth of God's Word that should motivate and mandate in our lives as to what we do and say. I am a little weary with a lot of folks that simply talk about truth in such a haphazard fashion, and yet the Word of God from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation is all truth. There's not an error in it, contrary to what some of the liberals want to say today. But it was Jesus that said to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed." Notice the continue. That's a prerequisite here for truth. If you continue, constantly stay in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. That word indeed means truly, surely. So if we continue, constantly stay in the Word of God, it reveals that we are indeed a true disciple of Jesus. And then the balance of that verse says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It's the truth of the Word of God. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." How do we know the truth that is called Jesus? It's through staying in the Word. And then in John 17:17, Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And so not only is Jesus truth, because he is the Logos of God, the Word of God, if we know Jesus Christ and stay in the Word of God, we will know the truth. And yet we live in a society today where the world hates the truth. In fact, Nancy Pelosi despises anyone that would stand and speak truth to her. You would think that she walks on water and wears a halo If you say anything that she doesn't like, she wants to go back to her Catholic belief, as she calls it. And she even says she prays for the president. If you believe that, I'll sell you the Buckman Bridge, dismantle it, and reinstall it in your backyard at no cost. It was George Orwell a number of years ago that says, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. That's what we see today on every hand, not only socially, morally, and politically, but also ethically and theologically. We find those that somehow, some way, have perverted and twisted the Word of God. We need to understand the truth. It was the 15th century church reformer and theologian, Jan Hus, that made a powerful statement. Keep in mind, this is back in the 15th century. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. And defend the truth, even to death. And so that's the challenge that I've made day after day and year after year on this broadcast, that as Christians, we need to love the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, seek the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And it seems, ladies and gentlemen, that even before the rapture takes us out as Christians, we're going to be faced with a world that attacks everyone that will stand on the truth. I'm talking about frontal attack. I'm talking about non-subtle, open, in-your-face attack. That's taking place today. Simply because a black man standing out in front of his business, I believe it was in Milwaukee, he was standing out in front of his business with signs, vote for Trump, had scripture signs on boards out in his store windows, and standing each day on the sidewalk with a sign says, vote for Trump. As a result of that, some of the Black Lives Matter mobsters, thuggery, drove by and summarily shot him in the head. Simply because he was standing there in front of his own business, with his own liberties and freedoms, to wave the signs on whatever he would wish to do so. And yet he was killed as a result of standing for the truth. And I'm saddened to say, but I truly believe that we're headed into those days where that becomes the norm until the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is lifted out by way of the rapture of the church. And yes, that's on hand. It could happen at any day, any moment, before this broadcast is completed, before my next sentence is stated. It could happen. And we need to be ready. And the only way we're ready, ladies and gentlemen, is by saying yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. We need to know that we're saved, 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 and that we're headed to heaven with the Lord Jesus. And the rapture of the church is going to take us out. Following the rapture of the church is the 7 years of tribulation being carried out of the dictatorship of the lawless one, the scripture calls him, the man of sin, the beast, the Antichrist, that's highly descriptive in Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 and following, highly descriptive in Daniel 7 and Daniel 8, highly descriptive in Revelation chapter 13. We need to understand the day in which we're living, ladies and gentlemen. So therefore, when we talk about things that sound negative, it ought to be viewed as positive in the eyes of the child of God, positive in two ways. Positive in that we know the truth and we're standing on the truth and we're ready to go to be with Jesus. And secondly, it is positive from the standpoint that we know what the future holds. We're simply speaking the truth in love. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with Honda generators and a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power lawnmower equipment and also hurricane preparedness equipment, generation equipment. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. You can find that intersection pretty clearly. Has a benchmark there. It's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Find the U.S. flag flowing the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you have heard it on television. They've tried to sequester it from most of the listeners. But Jerry Nadler, in all of his wisdom, Jerry Nadler, in all of his wisdom, said that what you see taking place, what we see with our own eyes, taking place in Seattle and in Portland, and other places across America, is not real. It's you can't believe your lying eyes, as the old cliche goes. It's not real. He says it's just a myth. Let me just read you a portion of an article about that. Antifa violence in Portland is a myth, says Jerry Nadler. Democratic Representative Jerry Nadler of New York said Antifa's violence in Portland is a myth in the YouTube video published Monday. Nadler made the comment during an interview. It is true, quote, it is true. There's violence across the whole country. Do you disavow the violence from Antifa and that what is happening in Portland now? The interviewer asked Nadler, quote, that's just a myth that's being spread in only in Washington, D.C., Nadler reported. The one that was doing the interview said, I was disappointed with Mr. Nadler. He told the Daily Caller Foundation, downplaying it is one thing, but pretending it doesn't exist, especially when the clips are going viral on social media, shows me where his priorities really are. Anytime, anything to maintain the narrative of the violence not really taking place. Brother Don, I find it absolutely laughable if it weren't so sad.
Well, it is. I mean, it is. It's sad that, and you can't really believe that he believes that. It's part of the drive to, you know, discredit Trump.
Part of the drive to discredit Trump. And I watched that interview that was fascinating to watch. He was on the sidewalk leaving one of his appointments, apparently. And a kind of plainly dressed interviewer interrupted Nadler's walk to his vehicle with his handlers next to him to put him in his car. And there was a little wall there, a knee wall, I call it. And Nadler kind of leaned against that. And the interviewer asked him these questions. And you could tell Nadler almost spaced out as though he's not really in the land of the free and the home of the brave. Nadler simply said, well, you know, it's just a myth. It's a myth. And if any of you, our listeners today, watched anything yesterday with the interview from the committee, you find that the Democrats were simply trying to pretend this whole war against America is not taking place at all. But ladies and gentlemen, to simply say the riots and the domestic violence and the terrorism of the anarchists that's in the streets today is a myth, we see what's taking place with our eyes. We understand what's happening, but yet it is somehow, some way being waged, and we're supposed to believe that it's not real. It's waged against America, ladies and gentlemen. In Portland, Oregon, we have witnessed for the past 8 weeks, solid frontal war against our Constitution and the liberties that we have been so blessed with for 244 years in America. In fact, here's an article that says, ladies and gentlemen, Portland High School football coach says the school fired him simply because he's a police officer. He says, and I quote, I'm simply at a loss for words. He's been on the force for 23 years because now the football, the police officers are supposed to be the bad guys. Somehow they're supposed to be against us. As a result of that, the school, and he was a coach in his school, and as a result of his being a 23-year veteran on the police force, he's summarily fired. And I could go through reading the article. It says an Oregon high school football coach says the school fired him for his position because he is a sergeant with the Portland, Oregon Police Department. It is a sad, sad scenario when we see in society today, ladies and gentlemen, where there's a move to have violence on every hand, thuggery, robbery, murder, mayhem, and theft being taken place, and arson. And just simply because you're a law enforcement officer, somehow, some way, you're the bad guy, even to the point of firing him in his job that he's doing for the kids in school. That gives you an illustration, an idea of what's taking place. Don, these things are taking place not only in Seattle, Washington, New York City, and Atlanta, Georgia, and Portland, Oregon, but even across the nation. I think last account was some 16 cities that's ravaged with this every night, every night. And yet the Socialist Marxist BLM Democrat Party says that they're just peaceful protesters. How should we view that here in Jacksonville, Florida? I'm thankful that we are have thus far had a low profile and not been in the whirl of that, if you please. But how should we respond to that as citizens, as conservatives, as Christians, and especially you as a candidate for District 4 as a city councilman. Just talk with us a minute about what we see happening there and the potential of it being in Jacksonville unless we have the right people in office.
Well, I'll tell you, that's the whole thing. You got to elect people that will take a stand. You got to elect people with a backbone to confront these liberal issues, whether it be giving money to every group that comes along that needs a handout, or whether it be taking a strong stand for your police department, law enforcement. I know when I was on the city council, you know, I was there for 8 years, and half of that time I had a Democratic mayor that I worked under, Mayor Brown. And we had the Occupy people come into town. You know, they were traveling around, part of the Obama reelection program mm-hmm. to get him reelected. They set up camp in front of City Hall and in Hemming Park. I couldn't get the police to do anything about it because the mayor, Mayor Brown, asked them to stand down. Not to, you know, they actually were living on the sidewalk in front of City Hall.
Right.
Had a camera set up and the whole works. And I finally just moved down there with them, set up a table, played gospel music and Rush Limbaugh and Neil Bortz for them until they got so aggravated that they left. but, you know, your Democrats just for whatever reason will not take will not look at the big picture for our country. They're so bent right now in getting Donald Trump, our president, out of office that they allow anything to happen. They'll let people lives be in danger. They'll let property be destroyed, and that. Then blame it on Trump.
Yes.
So,
Don, let me ask you a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redman. Don is the candidate for District 4 seat for the city council here in Duval County for Jacksonville. Don was in office for about 8 years on city council before and is very knowledgeable of what's happening in our city. Don, a question comes to mind for the city of Jacksonville and the size and the number of people that's represented in our city. And with what we see taking place in these other cities, I think you and I both agree that it's because of the what I call the Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party, because all of the cities where you find the ravaging and the lawlessness taking place all led by mayors and governors of the Democratic Party. But even notwithstanding that, with the major problems that they're having in these cities across America, and it's the approach to uproot and destroy the potentiality of President Trump's reelection. Can that be squelched? Is it possible for all of that to cease and desist and stop if the decision is made to do so?
Of course it could be stopped. You know, if you have a strong mayor, strong city council, and a sheriff that is willing to
enforce the law.
I mean, we have laws. We have when you can sit by and watch a person and say it's all right to break that law, that's wrong. You cannot allow that to happen and keep peace in a city.
Well, the Bible even says when justice is delayed, justice is denied.
That's right.
And what we're watching is, I've got four sons. Of course, I'm thankful all of them are saved, all of them are adults, all of them have the families of their own today. But with our boys, when they were growing up, if they would do something wrong, we would allow it. It got worse. You have to cause it to cease and desist. And what we're seeing happening, here's one writer that says, the problem in Portland isn't the law. It's the lawlessness.
Right.
Despite the occasional looting, chaos, property damage, trespassing, rioting, graffiti, assaults, arson, and general mayhem, the media consistently assures us that Antifa and BLM protesters are largely peaceful. If that's peaceful, if that's not lawlessness, I don't know what is.
That's right.
We need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the need to put men in office that's going to take a stand for truth and for our Constitution and to defend the liberties that we have in our Bill of Rights. Here's an article Brother Don, and I'll just glimpse at it for our listeners. Acting Deputy Secretary Ken Cuccinelli, protest organizers, announces their mission, quote, is to abolish the United States. And this had with it a video of a young woman speaking, because she identified her sexuality as binary. And she said, well, let me read you briefly the introduction to the article. Well, well, well. Here we have a group of individuals masquerading their socialist list, wish list, in the name of protecting people of color from police brutality. And this article further says, remember, even Karl Marx advocated for dethroning God in his quest to destroy capitalism. In this particular article, ladies and gentlemen, with the video that was attached, the speaker in the video declared that we are here, the Marxist group, now we're here not only to overthrow Portland, Oregon, but to overthrow the United States. An open declaration of the purpose of what's happening. Don, I don't think it's for a sane person, for a conservative person, for one that has a mind to think and to understand what's happening. I don't think there should be a person in America that will in any way not understand that what we see taking place is an attempt to destroy the Constitution of the United States of America, to overthrow our nation. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, let's talk about some things for a moment and digression that brings it a little more to home. I think we all understand, and Bill Barr said in his some of his comments yesterday in the interrogation by the House members, especially the Socialist Marxist House members, Bill Barr said it was very, very clear that they'd called him there to ask questions. They didn't have any interest in his answers. And that's exactly what we see taking place with the Socialist Marxist Democrats on a national level. But let's face it, what's really taking place is the churning and the turmoil to keep America in the state of consternation and dismay, to force the votes in November to not allow President Trump to be re-elected. He was coming to Jacksonville for the political campaign for his nomination and for the convention for the Republican Party. He was supposed to be here this last week in August, about 3 weeks from now, and that was summarily canceled. Tell us what you know and why you think President Trump canceled the convention here in Jacksonville. I'm really, really, really concerned about it because I think I have a pretty good idea of what happened. Speak to our listeners on that level, Brother Don, because I believe that many people are concerned about and some in consternation as to why that was canceled. Some are rejoicing that it was. Others realize that it's not good.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it was a detrimental blow to the economy of a lot of businesses in Jacksonville that it got canceled. But there was a drive by a couple of city council people to the new council president to stop it. And I do believe that the president saw what was going on and saw the handwriting on the wall that it was going to be canceled. And they had a strong push going and got people scared and made the issue that it was going to cost the people of Jacksonville money to the point that the president saw the best thing to do is go ahead and pull it.
Did what you and I'd call a preemptive strike.
A preemptive strike. Mm-hmm. Preemptive strike to get ahead of, well, actually, one of them is a Rhino Republican that was in trying to do that, and the other one, a Democratic new president of the city council.
Yeah, we had that one between Matt Carlucci, which is a Republican in name only, and he joined with Tommy Azuri, the president of the city council, mm-hmm. and they'd already sent a letter wanting that to be the president's convention to be canceled. And it was on the premise of what?
And well, their idea was that we didn't have the police force, and
not enough money
know,
for
the
security.
Sheriff made his mm-hmm. announcement.
Not enough money for security.
That he didn't have the finances or the ability to handle the situation that was coming.
I'm amazed that the sheriff said that.
I was,
ladies and gentlemen, one of the things, lest you are not aware of that, anytime a major event like the presidential convention is going to be in a city, the federal government picks up the tab on the overwhelming majority, if not all,
That's right.
of security for that city. they'd already committed, that is the presidential convention group, they'd already committed some $50 million for security. That means they would have their funding. That means they would have their people, the special agents, the Secret Service, et cetera, the federal protective force for the governor. We already had some, I believe, done. I was told some 47 counties across the state of Florida had agreed to send in law enforcement to assist our sheriff in the city. Mm-hmm. And yet the city council had introduced Council Bill 2020-399, and it was to be voted on the Tuesday over the weekend when President Trump had canceled, but it was to be voted on the following Tuesday, which was a week ago. And that bill basically was asking the question whether or not we have enough funds to securely protect the president and his entourage. But Don, beyond just that fact, what is the trickle down? Because it was projected that we'd have about $100 million in commerce increase here in our city as a result of having the convention. Yes, there would have been difficulties. Yes, we'd had some rioting. Yes, we would have had some uproar, but by the detractors, that's normal. Any city that you've ever had a presidential candidacy and a convention, whether it be Republican or Democrat. But notwithstanding that, I understand we had merchants in our city that had motels, hotels, bed and baths, et cetera, that they had said no to people wanting to come to Jacksonville. They'd said no simply because they were preparing for the convention. What did that do to these hundreds and hundreds, perhaps thousands of businesses in our city?
Well, you're talking about businesses that were hurting already because of the virus and the shutdown, and they're doing no business. They saw the opportunity to do some business. A lot of them ordered merchandise. Merchandise spent a lot of money on merchandise that they are stuck with now. A lot of them turned away tenants or people that stay in their hotels or restaurants that were prepared to hire people to work and do, you know, jobs. There are a lot of jobs that would have been available for people that have been out of work and that are caught with the disaster of the crisis of the virus. So, you know, it really was a financial blow to businesses in Jacksonville.
So we've had what I would call a double whammy. Not only we have the major lockdown that continues for the most part in our city, as across the nation, because of COVID-19, we also have the enforcement of Gestapo, as I call it, by mayors and governors across our nation in relationship to churches still being shut down and businesses. We still have, ladies and gentlemen, I call it the unconstitutional, illegal, unethical, immoral standards that's been given to us by the mayors and the governors across America that says that you must wear a mask and the churches must remain closed, et cetera, et cetera. So that, along with the hope that was in the hearts of so many of our businesses in Jacksonville that were ramping up for the funds that they well deserved and needed, and then that was summarily canceled. And then, ladies and gentlemen, on top of that, we're watching now the supposed surge of COVID-19. We'll talk about that in a minute, as far as whether or not we're really watching a surge or if it is something that is taking place, a strategy to keep America in turmoil, to make it easier to dump Trump, as Louis Gohmert, First District Congressman out of Texas, has made the statement. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redman today. Don is the candidate for City Council District 4. The primary is coming up in the next few days, the 18th of August. In fact, early voting starts on the 3rd. So it's very, very imperative that we understand what we're faced with in a nation, what we're faced with in our city, and why it's necessary to put the right men in office to serve us. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We're going to take about a 1 minute at the top of the hour for the news. Hang in there. We'll be right back as we continue. Let's face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.